Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, these dudes are fucking nuts. Okay. All right, how are you looking? Ready?
Yeah, let's go. All
right.
Fuck it.
Yeah, it's one of those nights, man. One of those. One of fucking those. Okay. Check, check, check. Right. Just move you over a little bit. Just look up 1 second. All right. What's this shit called again? Okay. Alright, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Monday night, man. KFTV Postgame Live presented by Manscaped. Knicks back at home, riding a 4-game winning streak, taking on one of the best teams of the East, man, the Milwaukee Bucks. And you know what? This one started off fairly well for the Knicks. This was a defensive 90-style game, man. Both teams bricking away, but refusing to give an inch on the defensive end. And Knicks were going well. Paced by Jalen Brunson, of course. Captain Clutch had it going from beginning to end. But it was a tale of two halves, man. And as the Milwaukee Bucks were cashing three after three after three, the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau had no answers, no adjustments, and just sat there and watched it all crumble. Shout out to Brunson once again, man. Captain Clutch with 14 in crunch time. But it was too little too late, man. Bucks win 111-107. A disappointing loss at MSG for the Knicks. So let's talk about it, man. Call us up 657-383-1509 or hit us up on the KFTV Discord. TP, JD on the ones and twos. JD, this one, you know, on weekly, I had the Knicks losing this one.
Recording in progress.
Because with the Bucks having gotten embarrassed at home against the Charlotte Hornets, I thought they were going to bring their A game to start this thing off and really take it to the Knicks, and I just didn't think we were going to be able to match that. But give the Knicks credit, because in this game, I thought their defensive effort was pretty good to start. And even though they didn't have it offensively, they were taking care of the ball. They were defending fairly well. The defensive game plan against the Freak was working. They were walling them off. The help defense was pretty good. Mitchell Robinson chipping in. Julius fighting hard on the defensive end. And with Brunson cooking on the offensive end, they had enough there to hold this team off, at least for the first half. But in the second half, you know, Ingles was a guy I was worried about. No Chris Middleton for the Bucks, but Ingles is a guy who's coming back, who came back from a knee injury with the Bucks. I was worried about him as a facilitator, as a three-point shooter. He starts knocking it down. Knicks have a 17-point lead with 5 minutes to go in the third, and Ingles starts cooking. Portis having his moments. Connaughton, Grayson Allen. Fourth quarter, Bucks hit, shot 8 of 17 from downtown. Knicks continuing to overhelp in the paint. Overhelp in the paint. Evan Fournier, where are you, as Clyde said on the telecast? Let's leave Pat Connaughton wide open for three. They said on MSG, the Bucks went 4-6 from the right side corner, 4-6 from the left side corner. 8 of 14 from the corners alone. So then we got a battle on our hands in crunch time. Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson, doing his best to get this done for him. I got it. I'm rocking his jersey. I'm rocking the number 11 tonight. 14 points in crunch time for Brunson. But it was too little too late, man. Yeah, Drew Holiday with 6 points. And look, I thought Grimes' defense on Holiday was good. Holiday was just better, man. You have an all-star veteran point guard who got a cook and got activated and try to seal this deal for him. Bucks got some timely offensive rebounds, second chance opportunities, and that was it. 111 to 107, man. Your thoughts on this game?
It's a bad loss. Bad loss for me, for the simple fact that, as you mentioned, going into the game, you know, it looked like a tough matchup. You know how the NBA works. It's ebbs and flows. You have good teams like the Bucks, which, you know, lose the game that they lost last game versus the Charlotte Hornets. And it's just natural for them to want to come to the Madison Square Garden and kind of get back on track. But that did not happen. The Knicks showed up. They played tough defense. Thought their defense was great for much of three quarters.
Yeah.
Of this ball game. You know, when you overcome a 1-12 start from Julius Randle and you still are able to build a 17-point lead, I mean, that's a great opportunity to steal a win. And it wasn't even stealing a win, because when you're up 17, that's a comfortable lead.
Right.
You should find ways to close that out. And so that's why, to me, it's a bad loss. It's a tough loss, but it's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. I thought the Raptors game was an internal statement game, not an NBA statement game, but an internal statement game, because you beat a team that just has your number. So no matter what their record are, you were able to show that you can beat them. So I thought that was an internal statement win for their own personal confidence. And then tonight at the Garden, I was looking for them to build on that and start to rack up some wins. You know, you have an interesting schedule coming up. And, you know, it's another minor setback in this continuing kind of roller coaster of what is this team in the grand scheme of things. You don't have R.J. Barrett, but they also don't have Chris Middleton tonight.
Right.
So you think in terms of production, that cancels out there. But it's a tough loss, man. And, you know, the thing I hate about these losses, CP, is a performance like Jalen Brunson.
44
is a performance
points.
Like Emmanuel Quickly.
Like you was cooking.
You know, is even overcoming a tough start from Julius Randle, and he's still giving you that effort defensively. Like those type of things, man, you want to get a win when you get those type of performances. Just for the sake of the team and the confidence of the players. So tough loss, man. Some questionable decisions for me. The defense, you know, that was very questionable in terms of not adjusting to the way the game was going. You know, it was good to start out, but in the fourth quarter, the Bucks got hot.
Right.
And you had players like Brook Lopez and Grayson Allen and catching fire in the fourth quarter. I believe you got 18 points combined from just those two players in the fourth quarter. And the Knicks, you know, the Bucks continue to run similar plays because they saw that when you got Mitchell Robinson in a pick, he was not coming out to contest. He was staying behind.
Drop
and
coverage.
If the guard in those picks, whether it was Brunson or IQ, if you hit him hard enough on the screen, they were trailing, and that forced Mitch to make a decision. And the guy on the side, whether it was Fournier, whoever the wing was, came in to protect the paint, and that allowed the easy pass to the corner.
Easy ones.
I believe the Bucks made 8 corner threes, and that was the death sentence there. I didn't like the lack of adjustment there, and I also didn't like Evan Fournier. I don't understand why he played. He was He was 9 seconds away from playing 8 minutes, according to ABA.com, in the fourth quarter. I don't understand why Evan Fournier is playing 8 minutes in any quarter, let alone the fourth quarter, when he's 1 of 4 for the game. I understand he was showing you effort early, but then late, the Bucks started attacking him, being a focal point of their game plan, because Fournier was constantly lost in rotation, and the head coach didn't make an adjustment. So I was disappointed there. Tough loss, but, you know, you got to bounce back now.
Yeah, well, part of the issue is you had Brunson and Randle playing damn near the entire third quarter. You know, so that's another thing. You had Hartenstein, who was absolutely brutal tonight. He's been brutal, man.
Oh, my God.
He's been brutal. I was wrong about Hartenstein. I apologize to the people for the recommendation. Because he's been brutal. My man was airballing teardrops. Man, it was ugly, man, for Hartenstein and Fournier, man. It was brutal in their minutes. Absolutely brutal, man. But as you said, with the three-point defense, look, this is a Bucks team. Despite their ineptitude in the first half, they're sixth in the league in attempts. They're seventh in makes. They're going to let it fly. So once they start connecting in the second half, namely when specifically they started really cooking by 5 minutes into the third, they were cooking, especially Ingles, man. So on the post game, I don't know which reporter was asking Tibbs a question. He said, you know, were you considering any adjustments there? It seemed like every shot they hit in the second half was a three. Tibbs said no.
He wants to go look at the film.
Tibbs said no. He said he blamed it on the execution. He also did admit that they were overhelping too much in the paint. It was ridiculous. Like I said, the one play with Fournier, I mean, you guard him Pat Connaughton, bro, who just killed the Knicks from three at the Garden. Maybe not the last time, but the time before that. He's like that. You sell out completely on him. And just let him wig. It was just crazy. But yeah, Tip said no. He blamed it on the overhelp, and he said they didn't execute.
That's the thing, though. CP is I understand that, but and I keep saying it, and people could get upset. It's fine. It's the regular season. I'll analyze it like a regular season game, but in the playoffs, if this is what goes on, the coach is going to get destroyed with criticism, because you cannot, and that's why I say it's so frustrating, because you cannot tell me that tonight in the playoffs, not as a team, but tonight, for the better part of this game, the Knicks were the better team. And you do not close out games. And you want to say that the team didn't execute. Fine. But once you see Fournier not make the proper rotation, can you call a timeout and get Grimes in? Does Grimes have to sit at the scoring table for like 4 minutes,
right?
Because there's no dead, you know, there's no call to get him in. You know how sometimes players get, you know, the coach calls him in to go in the game, but sometimes there's like a 3 or 4 minute stretch where nobody fouls, there's no dead ball, there's no nothing, and the player is standing there for like 3-4 minutes before he's in. Can you call a timeout and get him in before you continue to see the damage done?
Right.
And those are the little things that, again, in the season, people, you know, it's 82 games, we'll let it fly. But in the playoffs, that will destroy you. These are the 3 or 4 plays that will decide a series, that will decide swinging back home court in a 7 or 5 game series. And this is what's gonna be the demise of this team.
Yeah.
With the lack of adjustments. And I understand that. Your scheme, your game plan going into the game was that. And it was effective. It was effective. But you also, as you mentioned, Grayson Allen is a very good three-point shooter.
Right.
Brooke Lopez is a very good three-point shooter. So in the fourth quarter, crunch time, you see the lead dwindling off the same type of execution, which is 3 points.
Right.
You got to adjust, man. You've got to be willing to be flexible with your scheme. And they didn't do that. And so, you know, tonight a team like the Bucks made you pay. You know, you play an inexperienced Pacers next, who is having a good season. But they're young. A team like that that's young, it can work. But championship caliber teams, it's not going to work in the long run.
Once they take it up another level, you got to adjust, man. You have to adjust because that sense of desperation that I thought the Bucks were going to come out with in to begin the game is what we saw starting in the third quarter. Even the Freak, you know, he started to adjust. He wasn't waiting to set up in the half court for the Knicks to build their wall. He was going in transition, trying to bully through everybody, draw contact, and he was getting there. So he started to wake up. Like I said, the Holiday points down the stretch, to me, that was just Jrue Holiday being a good player. You know, I'm going with that all day, every day. My best defender on him. To me, that was Holiday making a play. But by that point, you know, it was just too late, man. And it sucks because you had a career night for Jalen Brunson, 44 points, absolutely incredible from start to finish. And even though the Bucks did bring this thing back, once crunch time started, bro, 5 minutes left, I said, let's go. Give it to 11 and let them go to work. 14 points in crunch time for Jalen Brunson. We've been talking about his crunch time numbers all week since the Raptor game, and he was nothing short of brilliant on that end. You had Quickly, who had as good as a game as you can ask for on both ends. Again, it's a shame they got the loss because I thought Quickly was definitely in his bag in this game. They just couldn't get it done, man. They couldn't get it done. And even though Julius didn't have his game offensively, defensively, look, he took on the challenge of the Freak. I thought in the third quarter, things got real physical with them. You could tell Julius was real into it. He started turning up his intensity level. He battled. But I thought in the fourth quarter, he made a couple, you know, boneheaded plays in the fourth and crunch time as well. I don't know if it's fatigue, mental fatigue, whatever. But he just didn't have it in the end to get us any of those plays either, man. So.
Yeah, you mentioned with Grimes, you know, and this is – I hope that Grimes can learn from this. I hope that a coach and the coaching staff – can show him that sequence, those back-to-back plays. Because to me, that showed a little bit of Holiday's experience and Grimes' inexperience as a defender, as he continues to grow and develop into a more polished defender. The first bucket, he did the step back as if he was going to attack. You know, Grimes went under, and then by the time Grimes caught up with him, he did the step back, shot the three. The second time, he did the same move, but to the other side of his ball handler, to the right side, he did the step back. And it's because the first time he saw Grimes fell for the juke, and that created space for him to shoot the three. The second time he did the same move again. And if you look at Jrue Holiday's scouting report, when it comes to the three-point line in crunch time, that's one of his favorite moves. That's like his bread-and-butter move. When he's going to shoot a three in the fourth quarter, you look at Jrue Holiday's history, that's his favorite move. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, learning the scouting report. And in crunch time, not getting kind of caught up in the moment and where you don't process what could happen on the court and you allow yourself to play the assignment and the technique that you need to. So hope that's a learning experience for him. Like you mentioned, it's a tough matchup, and Holiday is an inexperienced guy. He knew what he was doing. And, you know, Quickly, only two shots in the fourth quarter. Again, you know, he played the whole fourth quarter. I didn't like that when he was, you know, having such a good game. I wish he would have had more opportunity to cause some havoc offensively. But, you know, Julius showed a lot of effort tonight. You know, if you want a nitpick, you know, obviously one of 12, it's one of those things, right, CP, where it's like, yo, the guy's been so hot, you kind of give him
freedom. I give him an
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of give him the freedom in the first quarter. You know, he kept going. He had 12 shots in one quarter.
Yeah, he was letting it fly.
You know, you on pace for 48 tonight, you know, so but you give him that. The one thing that he needs to improve on, though, CP, because it's going to come back around in the playoffs, if this team gets there, is teams want him to make decisions with the basketball when he attacks. He's getting caught up too many times with the ball in his hand, and he's up in the air. He's not so sure where to go.
Yeah.
You saw a couple times he got caught up, and you know, there were turnovers. And in other games, we see sometimes he makes funky passes because he catches himself in the air. Derrick Rose faced that a lot earlier in his career, where you get stuck in the air, you don't know exactly where to go. He needs to clean that up. Hopefully, as the season progresses, he can get better, because teams, again, when they game plan against you, they're going to want to put you in that position. That's one of the reasons teams also like to put the Knicks in zone, so that Randle himself can make those decisions.
Yeah.
But other than that, CP, you saw there was a sequence where Jalen Brunson had a one-on-one on Holiday, and Brunson made a nice move. He missed the layup. Randle comes out of nowhere on the trail and tips the ball in.
Yeah.
Like, it's that type of effort play that has been consistent with him this year that's going to get him in the good graces of the fans, but also, as you can see, has made him a better player this season.
Yeah, 100%. You talking about the play there was another play where Brunson had the freak on him on a switch, and he was trying to hit him with you know, his footwork in the paint and trying to hit him with the pivot. But the freak wasn't going for it. But then Julius made the right off-ball cut, got the ball, and then got a three-point play. I thought that was a nice sequence as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, just wasn't Julius's night, man. Let's hear what the people got to say. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs-up button for you boys. KFTV Postgame Live presented by Manscaped. Let's go to area code 718. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Hey, yo, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Who's this? Where are you calling in from?
What's up, man? This is Dre from Manhattan. I called in last night.
Yep. What's good, Dre? How you feeling, bro?
Not too bad, bro. Not too bad. Don't really got my head down too bad after this loss, because I did chalk it up. Won't lie to you. I chalked this up as a loss, but I just don't like the way it went down. I feel like I would have gone down all right if it was the Greek Freak giving us 50, because that's what I expected. But the way we lost is the way we lose a lot of games to the Bucks, these wide open threes. And I say that to say, it's at the end of the day, to me, it's Tibbs. If we keep losing the same way all these games, it's going to get real ugly. And I say that on defense and offense, because now we're still relying on Brunson, who almost saved us tonight, but he can't do that every night.
Yeah.
So something's got to change at least a little bit if we're trying to make these playoffs. And my last point is that I like your point on Grimes and Holiday. Holiday is just a great player. And this could be a learning lesson for Q. So I'm all right with that. But adjustments got to be made. That's all.
Yep. Appreciate the call, man. Adjustments got to be made. You hope you get RJ back. They said RJ's making progress. You got OB back tonight. He hit a three. Didn't play too much. But you hope they start to ramp his minutes up and ramp Hartenstein's minutes down.
I was waiting for you to say, because I was gonna say, if you missed it,
yeah,
ramp his minutes way down.
Yeah. Something's not clicking out there. Sims Hive all day, man. Yeah, Sims Hive all day. So, yeah, hopefully they get some reinforcements there. Bounce back on Wednesday against the Pacers. You know, hopefully they bounce back there. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Salute to Hoodies Vintage. He says, Tibbs is terrible. You pull a hot Brunson, sit him for 7 minutes. We'll play a Cole Randle damn near the whole first half. This is a bad L, outcoached again. My guy, Hoodies Vintage, always at MSG looking dapper. Salute to you. Salute to King Matthews, $5 Super Chat. Says, iCheeks was garbage. And bring out the wall of Jericho. It is time, Tibbs. Stop leaving the corners open in our defense scheme. It's so predictable. Tough loss. Boxing fan 189, $5 super chest. His heart inside had no business being in that game. Tibbs is terrible under pressure. He needs to go. All right, so the fans have had it with Hartenstein. Let's go to the Discord, man. Killmonger was right on the Discord. Go ahead and unmute your mic. Killmonger was right on Discord. Going once. All right, I see you unmuted his mic, but not able to answer. Sizzle or Tizzle on the Discord? Sizzle or Tizzle? Go ahead and unmute your mic.
What's up, fellas? Love the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, man, I just want to say Tibbs, he deserves most of the blame for this loss, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that Isaiah Hartenstein should be playing over Sims at this point. He tries to make Hartenstein play Sims' style instead of just playing Sims. Like, it's frustrating to have a team that's not good enough to win. It's even more frustrating to have a coach that is the reason you're losing when you have a team that's good enough to win.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the same questions we've been asking for this guy since he's been here, is, you know, to make the proper adjustments. But as you heard on his post-game press conference, he said he wouldn't adjust anything. He said they just didn't execute. They overhelped in some areas. And there's some areas, as he said, quote unquote, they didn't follow the game plan. So
it's a lack of accountability.
Yeah, he's a guy. He says, look, what the game plan that he outlines is what they want to go with.
The other point I want to make, you know how in NFL they've got offensive coordinators, they got defensive coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team needs a rotation coordinator because Tibbs has no idea what he's doing. How do you not have Grimes playing the vast majority of the fourth quarter?
Right.
When Jalen is popping off, could have had a 50-point game tonight.
Yeah.
He sits Jalen in most of the second quarter and continues to play Julius, who's like, he started 1-for-12 on the night. I get Julius's defense on Giannis is pretty good today. Okay, I'll give you that. But I don't understand how Jalen could be having a career night and you're sitting him in the, like, 9 minutes in the second quarter. Blows my mind.
I mean, these guys went on an 11-3 run to close the third. This thing didn't just start in the fourth. They had the 17-point lead in the third, and the Bucks closed it out on an 11-3 run. They end up tying each other in the third, 27 apiece, and then the Bucks scored 38 in the fourth, outscored the Knicks by 9 points.
I shouldn't be a better coach than the coach of the Knicks, okay? Because
yes.
I'm watching the game, and when we're up 17, he puts Ihart in, and – you know, the lead starts dwindling. I tell my girlfriend, hey, we need to take Ihart out because this is a clear, like, at least put in Sims, whatever, because he's clearly a liability, and he makes bad play after bad play after bad play. Next thing you know, we're only up 5. And then, yeah, it's a close game now. We were up 17. Now it's a game.
Yeah.
But positive point I did want to make is Quentin Grimes, ever since Alex pointed out his blow-bys.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice his blow-bys tonight? I know Grimes didn't have a great night, but if you pay attention to that, he really does just blow by his defender every time he touches the ball.
I've been putting y'all onto that since summer league. Grimes putting the ball on the floor, trying to be a playmaker, man. He's been a blur. He's been an absolute blur. Tonight, you wish he had a little bit more touches. Only 7 shots, only 3 3-point attempts. Didn't make any. Needs some more. Needs some more touches. Yeah, damn near 60 shots between Jalen and Julius. Julius is chucking threes, 1-for-12 from downtown. You know, we got to distribute a little bit better.
Hey, shout out to IQ as well. But just want to say, love the show. You know, I come into the lounge. I want to make a point. And while I'm waiting, you guys make all the points because you guys know exactly what you're talking about.
Appreciate it.
Keep killing it.
Number one show for the fans by the fans. Definitely appreciate that.
Sir.
Sizzle or tizzle on the Discord. We'll try. We got Killmonger was right back on the Discord. We could try him again. Killmonger was right. Go ahead and unmute your mic. Killmonger was right. Going once. Yo, how you feeling, man?
What up, man?
Good, good. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
This is D from Tampa by way of Jamaica.
Okay, J-A-J-A or Jamaica Queen?
Yeah. Nah, Ochi Rios,
all man. Right, no doubt.
But, I just wanted to say, tonight's game was a letdown, but the boys always play hard. I think Tibbs should have probably went with Sims when the Greek Freak will come in because he's trying to play Rando and the Greek Freak the same minutes, but you can tell at the end Rando was gassed.
He was gassed.
So why not just put Sims in for like 2 to 3 minutes to give Rando some breather. And I mean, Sims could probably hold it down for 2-3 minutes to give Randall a little bit more breathing room, but to keep putting Randall in there, Randall played like, I think almost the same, the whole first half. and then I think maybe the whole second half stood for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, you got 40. Yeah, 40 minutes tonight. Yeah, 40 minutes.
And then so. Your boy Clyde needs a swear jar also.
Hey, hey, who saw that though? My man,
yo,
Clyde,
that was crazy.
This ain't a family show for Clyde tonight because I think he saw his life flash between his eyes when Jalen Brunson got pushed into the table. They got Clyde and Breen at this little rinky-dink romp room table. You know, they selling every inch of MSG to make a buck. Got two legendary broadcasters at some kiddie table, you know, next to the bench. So Brunson goes flying into the bench. My guy Clyde goes, oh, shit.
Yo, I work in the hospital, yeah. And I was cracking up, and the nurse was like, we laughed, and I was like, I don't even know.
Clyde thought it was over with, man. He thought he was headed to the upper room right there, man. We were live. Hot mic. I said, nah, man, they're doing Clyde and Breen dirty. We got to get them a proper setup, man. What is this, man? You know.
Last point. Yeah. I know everyone wants Randall in the All-Star game, which I do too, and I want Brunson there also.
Yeah.
But I think we all shall riot if Quentin Grimes is not in that sophomore versus freshman game because he deserves to be there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, man. You know, there's a lot of young players that will be vying for it. And I believe because they're still doing international versus U.S., right?
Yeah, they still are.
Right. So, I mean, that might limit him as well. But I think he's definitely deserving of an opportunity. I think Julius will definitely get in, especially with this KD injury. I think he has an even better chance of getting in. So Brunson, I'm not so sure. I think there's more competition there. But I think Julius will definitely get in.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Take care, bro.
All right,
JD, did you see that with Clyde, bro?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh man, Clyde reacted as if, you know, because it was on his side, so he was shocked, like the shock factor of oh snap, yeah, about to hit, because you know they switched their position there, and now they're next to the Knicks bench. And that was hilarious though, but like, cause it's like Clyde, you
yeah,
never think Clyde would have that vocabulary.
Clyde said he never got a tech in an NBA game or never got thrown out, man. So,
I'm like, oh snap, Clyde, you know what that is?
Yeah. Clyde thought it was over with, man.
Oh man. That's why he's Clyde.
That's
right?
Why he's Clyde, man. That's why he's Clyde.
Coach's neophyte.
Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to him. You know, you got to laugh after a tough loss like this. So shout out to everybody in the chat, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks lose a tough one at the Garden, man, 111-107 by the hands of the Greek Freak and the Bucks. And Knicks fans, so you guys got to start the New Year's off strong with Knicks basketball. There's a lot of games to be played, a lot of basketball left to be played, but you got to be there at Madison Square Garden to catch all the action live and cheer on those Knicks. Because you know what, Knicks fans, man, no matter who they're playing, the Knicks fans are always going to bring passion and energy to try to make it a full court, a home court advantage at MSG. There's no experience like watching a game at the world's most famous arena, man. So get your Knicks tickets today by going to Knicks.com/BlueWire. That's Knicks.com/BlueWire. So you can be there to experience top-tier competition at the Mecca of Basketball, Madison Square Garden. Okay. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to the phones. Area code 813. 813. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Yo, Rambo from Tampa.
Rambo.
Man, down and out.
Callers back to back from Tampa. What's good, bro?
Man, I've been down and out. I've been so sick. I haven't been able to call in. I never bring Ari's name up again. That's what happened. Yeah. I know it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just calling in right now because you're not going to win all 82, okay? You're not that type of team. So I can appreciate the grittiness. I can appreciate Randall coming out playing today, playing hard. Last year, Randall, I'm going to tell you, he would have been doing that first quarter and he would have not gave half the effort that he gave tonight. So I appreciate that. You know, I'm not here to give no criticism to the team. Everybody's looking good. Shout out to Manscaped. I got me in Christmas. I've been balling ever since. I'm going to say it like that. Promo code KFTB, no testimonials.
Back.
I need a KFTB dad hat for February 7th. I'm letting you know. I need a dad hat, though. I can't do the snapback. But now, shout out to my team. Every year there's a team that just goes out there and plays gritty. And I'm going to tell you, we're putting the league on notice right now. All these contenders, they're looking at us like, hey, we really don't want them in the first round of the playoffs right now. Because I'm going to tell you, we're going to upset something. I'm not saying we find losing. We're going to do this. But we are a gritty team. The Bucks, look, the Bucks is tired out there with us right now. I miss RJ. I miss him so much. I can't wait till Quick gets back on that bench because 9 points off the bench? That's wild. Quick needs to be back on the bench. Be our six-man candidate. He's going to finish in the top three this year. Obi needs more minutes. We've been saying that since last year. I love my guy Obi, and I just want him to get back ramped up, and I want to see what Tibbs is going to do with the nine-man rotation. I'm not going to give him too much, man. Everybody plays really hard. I'm not even going to give Tibbs too much, man. We ain't going to win everything. But, man, we gonna upset them. So, JD, real quick, shout out to you, man, because I always like how the way you dissect the game. I'll be sitting there watching the screen like, you know what, JD, you be saying some stuff. And shout out my boy Alex. He ain't here today.
No doubt, man. So Randall taking the optimistic route, man. He's not letting this game phase him tonight, JD. He said the contenders need to watch out here, man.
Well, I mean, the optimism is a good approach. In the end, is a good approach just for the simple fact that, you know, you're three games over 500. You get a little nice winning streak, you know, a little three or four winning streak, and then boom, you create separation. You're 5, 6, 7 games over 500. And the NBA, this NBA season has been wild.
Wow.
Man. Like, I don't know if you guys are paying attention to these nightly box scores. You're seeing, like, it seems like a few upsets every single night around the NBA. You're seeing teams get smoked left and right around the NBA. Good teams get smoked. So it's definitely a season to where you know, though, that when it's time, it's kind of like a game, right? So the Bucks fourth quarter, they turned it up. Those last 30, 35 games, I think you're going to see teams really ramp it up and get prepared for the playoffs. And so, you know, the Knicks just have to continue to play hard, and they need RJ back, though, CP, because, you know, when we talk about optimism, this is one of those teams where you need everyone. You have teams like the Bucks, they can afford to lose Middleton for an extended period of time and not be concerned, right? The Celtics could lose, you know, certain players, a Malcolm Brogdon, even a Jaylen Brown, and vice versa with Tatum. Like, they just have enough of experience and pedigree at this point to overcome that. The Knicks don't have that roster yet. So when you lose RJ, you guess what happens? IQ starts, and then you have a night like tonight where I don't know how many bench – I don't even think the Knicks score more than 10 points off the bench tonight as a team. So the bench scoring now is hurting the team with IQ starting and RJ not in the fray because you have to get it from who? They're not playing a lot of minutes anyways. Obi is starting to ramp it up. He's going to take some time. So he's going to play, 5 to 7 minutes over the next 4 or 5 games, I anticipate. And then Hartenstein is a zero. Fournier hasn't shot well since he's been in a rotation. I mean, McBride has shot better from three.
Little points here and there, but, I mean, it's nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's not a threat. Right? Like, there's not a playmaking threat off the bench, and IQ's developing into that as a starter. So you need RJ back to kind of create more balance, because I still think it's early for this team to make a trade and make a move to improve the roster. So you want to see RJ in and see how the team looks as you get closer to the deadline. Then I think the front office is going to look to potentially make a move.
35-9, Knicks bench gets outscored. So,
see?
Again, That's what happens when you put when you got to move quickly up. No Rose.
I tell you what, CP, quickly. I don't know, man. I think that kid thinks he's a starter because he's playing like one.
Quick was in his bag tonight.
So all these, you know, quickly for first round pick rumors. That front office better chill with that, because right now, I think Quickly has is really, really increasing his value, but for the Knicks, not necessarily for a trade. I mean, obviously, he is increasing his value for a trade if the Knicks want to go that route. But, I mean, Quickly gives you everything that you can ask for. Again, but the dilemma is building where he's going to keep believing that he can be a starter, and then it becomes a kind of a business decision or player decision. Is he comfortable in the future being in that six-man role? Yeah. Or does he say, if you guys don't figure out a way to give me a starting position, I want to have that opportunity in the NBA? Because this is what Jalen Brunson did, right? He found the match, but he also found the match with an opportunity to be a starter and lead the team. And you saw with Terry Rozier in the past, you've seen it with him. Quickly is really building a case for himself as a very, very good player in this league.
Well, we'll see when it's money time. You know, if he could stake his claim at that point, he'll cash out for sure. He'll definitely cash out. Speaking of Jalen Brunson, here's what Brunson had to say tonight after a new career high 44 points. Here was Brunson on what this performance meant to him. Jalen Brunson.
Picking up four bad positions, but the career high
was enough, so it doesn't really matter to me. It's just the way that everything just played out. I just knew I could have been better, could have been more efficient. So that's how I'm looking at it.
All right, Jalen says, what else did he say? Hey, let's go back to Brunson.
Yeah, obviously we all could have played a lot better. I think end of it for me, like a couple plays in the fourth quarter that were just terrible. I had a turnover past Obi, and then I had a turnover the next possession dribbling into Drew, and then took a bad shot over Drew in the right baseline, and then I think before that I just had a terrible pull-up three and a pick and roll. So those are four possessions where I wish I could have had back. But it's just, we got to continue to grind and get better. And now we got to learn from this. I got to learn from this, and I got to treat possessions like they mean the world to me. I can't just have those mistakes.
All right. So even this,
what a leader.
Despite a 44-point outburst, despite 14 points with 4 minutes left, in 4 minutes in the fourth, Jalen Brunson still going back into the earlier possessions in the four, holding himself accountable, not impressed, not going to pat himself on the back. It's Captain Clutch, man.
How about him? Is him being a savant? And he just gave you the sequence. Like, he remembered those possessions and gave it to you in detail, broke it down, the negative plays that he felt, in his opinion, determined the game from his standpoint. When the guy scores 18 points in the first quarter, by the way, that was a career high in any quarter at that point of the game, and he doubles that and scores 18 in the fourth. So he tied his own career high in the same night within the same game.
Crazy.
18 in the first, 18 in the fourth. And don't tell me that some of that attitude, as you saw with Julius Randle even recently, the other day, he said, I was garbage tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of that gets contagious in terms of the accountability and the leadership. And that's also one of the underlying reasons why Brunson is here. It's not only, you know, the numbers and what you see on the floor, but it's also his influence in the locker room.
Big time. Big time. Let's go to TGI Fly on the Discord. TGI Fly, go ahead and unmute your mic.
Yo, y'all can hear me?
Yep. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
It's TGI Fly from Queens, man.
What's good?
CP, JD was good. I mean, thumbs up for the gang.
Yep.
It's been a while. Twitter Spaces is getting out of control, and I had to bring it back to the essence. This is where it all started for me.
No doubt. No doubt, man.
Nah, appreciate y'all. But, I mean, the game, my main issue is really with Tibbs, bro. It's really not even the start of – it doesn't really begin with this game. I've seen people, I was posting content with people agreeing that Tibbs made strides with his rigidness. And I call it BS, man. Because everything that we've seen him do has literally, it's literally been like out of desperation. So I can't really, we could, but I don't really give him much credit for anything that he's done because he's had these options ready and available since last season. And to tell me that he's changed when we're literally still complaining about who he should have played and who shouldn't have played, and they're still leaving corner threes open, which is the shortest three-point shot, by the way. Like, these are the shots that we choose to leave open. And we constantly left it open tonight and throughout the season. You know, Tibbs has made it hard for me as a Knicks fan. I feel like I'm in between a rock and a hard place for the simple fact that the more games we win, the longer he's going to be here. And we went on an 8-game win streak. That definitely cooled his seat down. But it's so hard to accurately assess this team because during that streak, you know, granted, you have to play who's in front of you, but, like, we're getting – a Booker-less Suns team who we smoke. You know, DeJounte Murray goes down in the first quarter. No Collins, no Hunter. It's like the basketball gods have been looking out for us, thankfully. So maybe they should wait for the draft or something, but whatever. I mean, so it's really kind of hard to really judge this team and are they as good as we think they are or we thought they were mid. They are mid and they're middling where they are right now, but it's just like, yo, like, I feel like Tibbs is the constant and common denominator in everything that this fan base hates with this team. And, you know, shout out to the kids finally playing, but I feel like Leon Rose should also shoulder some of the blame because if Cam Reddish is not going to play, don't have him suit up, bro. Because when Tibbs does these post-game interviews and he's giving these snarly little answers, like, it's like I feel like somebody's peeing in my face and you're telling me it's raining. And, like, this is, like, the constant thing with Tibbs, bro, and just something has to change.
Yeah,
I feel
okay.
Like this team could be better with a coach who is more willing to adjust and try things and be creative. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's the same old Tibbs, and it's going to be the same old Knicks.
I appreciate the call, man. Rate that call in the chat, good people in the chat, man. I like to present that call for a vote because I think he was going off. I see a lot of fives going off in the chat. I feel that could have been the call of the night so far. TGI5 going in. He said the longer they win, the longer he stays. I felt that one right there. Yeah, I definitely felt that one right there. Yeah,
but you definitely saw it at that point where, you know, people were you know, counting down the minutes of Tibbs' tenure here, and then the Knicks, you know, go on a little run, and you know, at this point, you know, you feel that if they are ever going to make a decision with him, it'll be at the end of the season.
Right, that's where I'm at.
Because
right.
You know, especially because you got to look at it this way. You have Rick Brunson with the connection with Tibbs. They hired Rick Brunson, another guy that Tibbs has a history with. So it's evident that Leon Rose, whether you or I agree with it or not, is trying to give Tibbs one last shot from a support system standpoint, from a player standpoint, bringing in Jalen Brunson here, and who knows what else they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that you do all that and then you just fire him in the middle of the season.
Right.
I don't think that that's what they want to do. And I think they've created such an environment where you kind of have to let him coach through the playoffs and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Right. And then make a decision at the end of the season. And, you know, it's gotten to that point, but that's what it is. And as far as Cam Reddish, you know, it was interesting because it's public, you know, information. You just have to check the putback with Ian Begley. But Bondi was on. And on the topic of Cam Reddish, I thought it was very interesting and nobody has talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the specific point. Bondi says that he's heard some things between Tibbs and Cam Reddish, but he doesn't want to put it out there because he hasn't been able to confirm it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So while everyone is, you know, has different
thoughts about, well, they're not playing him because they don't want him to get hurt because of trade value. I thought that I don't agree with that because it doesn't make sense because Fournier is playing now. And I understand that, but we're talking about a guy that's so valuable that, oh, my God, you don't want to play him because he's going to get hurt. I mean, I understand he's injury prone, but he was playing well and he was not – he was healthy for the most part. So I just thought that was interesting. And when you look at that Dallas game and you look at maybe what Cam's felt he's, you know, been mismanaged, I wouldn't put it past there being some legs under, you know, whatever Bondi's hearing that something happened between him and Tibbs and, you know, their representatives just said, let's just find him, try to find him a home. And you may ask, well, why haven't they yet? Well, tell me what NBA trade has happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not time yet. And so it's going to be interesting to see if anything, you know, leaks after Cam Reddish is not a New York Knick, because I definitely do feel that there's something that happened, whether it's with, you know, the clutch camp with
right.
CAA.
Is it a clutch CAA thing?
Right. Is it a clutch CAA thing? And I just hope, man, the only thing I just hope is that this really, and this is now the facet that you know, the fans are not privy to, that the fans don't see, right? I just hope that this Cam Reddish thing, forget the player. I'm talking about Rich Paul, LeBron, Clutch, like all these guys that are powerful now. I hope that this doesn't affect this front office and this franchise in terms of relationships, in terms of other potential players in the future, because you know that these things get around the NBA, they get around the league, and the way they've managed Cam, I just hope it doesn't hurt Leon Rose and this front office's ability to improve this roster or build other relationships that they're going to need in the future to get things done. Because there was also rumblings of something, you know, with Danny Ainge and Leon Rose, and like these things happen, and you always want to be on the better side of things, so it allows you to build the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll impact him that greatly. I mean, it is only Cam.
But there you go. You're talking about the player.
It ain't Kevin Durant.
We're
talking about him,
I'm talking about the agent. I'm talking about Rich Paul. Forget Cam. But you don't think that Rich Paul can look at this and say, yo, I don't want none of my guys touching the New York Knicks.
I mean, he can say that. But at the end of the day, you got to act in the best interest of your client as well. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Nerlens Noel certainly had a problem with it. So Rich Paul got to be careful as well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be hiding phone calls and text messages and withholding interest.
Right.
So it's a two-way street. But, hey, you never know. There could be some bad blood there. So there's something political with this Cam situation that is keeping him from getting into these games where they could use him. Something is there, you know, but who knows? Somebody in the chat said, hey, Noel Vonleh got traded. Maybe there's hope for Cam. We got a market for Noel Vonleh. Can't find nothing for Cam, man. We haven't found a good trade for Cam in 3 years. Hawks are trying to trade Cam in year two. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. It's a very, very peculiar situation. Very peculiar. Well, shout out to Cam. Shout out to TGI5, man. $5 super chat. And he follows up. He says, I heard Cam Reddish told Tibbs he coaches like it's a video game. And Tibbs ain't speak to him since. So TGI5 follows up his Discord call with a super chat with more smoke for Tibbs. He was feeling all those fives in the chat. The chat was feeling. Let's call it a night. Above the rim, $20 super chat says, I was at the game. First quarter, Tibbs has no control. How, as a coach, you let Randle shoot all those bricks from three and look like Jew was just warming up in pregame in the first quarter? Hashtag trade Cam before it gets ugly. Yeah, Jules is just like, letting it fly, man. He was just letting it fly, trying to find it. Soul searching out there. Thankfully, he was trying on the defensive end because this could have been a long night. This could have been over early. So, you know, thankfully he was activated on the defensive end despite his shots not falling. Tough one, man. Mike Rambo, $5 super chat, says, if we win, he's doing his job. Listen to Al's pregame. There are plenty of teams complaining about the same thing. If not Tibbs, then who? Number one D this D past month. I think he's saying the number one defense this past month. Okay. So shout out to Mike Rambo, $5 Super Chat. Let's look at this thing by the numbers, JD, by the numbers presented by Prize Picks. You know, one of the key stats for me is the ball movement. Ball movement just wasn't that good. I think part of that is this Bucks defense. They do have size. They do have length. They will bother you out there. And this is why I didn't give the Knicks that fair of a shot to win this one. Knicks only finishing with 16 assists. Bucks, conversely, with 27 assists. Despite the Bucks, you know, Bucks finished shooting 19 of 49 from the field, but 8 of 17 of those threes came in the fourth quarter. They got hot at the right time. They got hot when they needed to. Knicks, conversely, 11 of 41 from downtown, bricking away. Both teams finished tied on the boards. I thought the Bucks got some timely second-chance opportunities late in the game. And then the Bucks winning the points in the paint, the Knicks winning the points in the paint battle, 44-30. Any stats that stuck out to you, bro?
17-point lead, nah.
right. 17-point lead blown.
Two stats. Number one is the 91% from the free throw line,
yep.
20 of 22. You know, obviously that has to. You know, that has to be a key stat recently because of, you know, obviously the struggles they've had as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope that that's something that they can build on, you know, and that was one of the reasons that they had a chance to win tonight. And another reason that they had a chance to win tonight, and they'll have a chance to win many more basketball games, they only had 7 total turnovers tonight.
Yeah.
And the Knicks have been very good, you know, with protecting the basketball for the most part. And only 7 turnovers to the Bucks 14, you know, that's a good ratio there. And hopefully, you know, as they hopefully start another winning streak, they need to protect the basketball. 7 turnovers, 90%, 91% from the free throw line. Those are 2 good stats for Tom Thibodeau to build on.
Yeah, it's a good one. And as you said, the way that they do take care of the ball, Knicks 5th in the league in turnovers. So with that, and the way they were playing defense in the first half, you have a chance. You always have a chance. And
they have some ingredients here.
Yeah, yeah.
I will give them a chance. It's just like I mentioned, it's going to be these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Fournier playing 8 minutes in the fourth when he didn't even play any minutes in the third. He decides to play an 8 in the fourth,
right,
after he doesn't even play it in the third. And he didn't make a shot in the first half. Like, it's those little things, you know, fourth quarter late scheme adjustments. Like, those are going to be, I think, what's going to be the bread and butter of the Knicks. But in terms of, you know, some fans that support Tibbs will tell you defensive rating, defense of the last month, like, they have a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to find a way to put it together, and they have to stop blowing these leads. They have to stop blowing leads. And they have to find a way to close games.
Big time, man. And the numbers, key stats of the night by the numbers, as I said, is presented by Prize Picks, guys. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. And for you first-time players, for you first-time viewers in the chat, make sure you guys go to prizepicks.com and use promo code KFTV, and they will provide you with an instant deposit match on your deposit of up to $100. And the way Prize Picks works, very easy to play. You're just going to select 2 to 6 players. You can choose, you can mix and match sports, whether it's NBA, you have the NFL playoffs coming up, the college football championship just wrapped up, and you're going to just pick the players that you like and whether or not they are going to go more or less than the stat projection that Prize Picks has calculated that night. And there are a number of stats that you can choose from. Tonight, JD, not my night. After a 4 or 5 sheet win streak, I went a little bit cold tonight, man. I was definitely feeling myself, and I went a little bit cold in this game. You know, coming into this game, Julius against the Bucks hadn't fared so well. I think in his last 5 matchup, let me just look this up real quick on Stat News. In his last 5 matchups, I mean, Julius Randle versus the Bucks,
18-8-5, 14-12-2, 9-11-3, 8-10-7, 16-5-1. Going back six games, going back to 2021. Hasn't fared well against the Bucks. And I played this with the sense of desperation that I thought the Bucks were going to come out with and really blitz the Knicks early. So I took Julius Randle with less than 41.5 points, rebounds, and assists. The Bucks have size. They have length. They can put the Greek Freak on him. He kind of gets into those matchups mentally with Bobby Portis. You have Brook Lopez. So I thought, and in the first half, it was trending that way. Second half, give credit to Julius. He did turn it up, and he passed that number, and he ended up with 46 points, rebounds, and assists. Similarly, I went with Jalen Brunson. I thought the Holiday matchup would have bothered him. As well as Xavier Carter. So I went Brunson with less than 34.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I still thought he was going to get his points near around the 20s, but I didn't think he was going to follow it up with a 44-point performance, and Brunson ended up with more, thankfully, with 55. I did go with Grayson Allen with more than 1.5 three-pointers made. Again, just understanding how the Knicks were going to play the Greek Freak and really sell out to control the paint. They were going to give up a lot of three-point opportunities. Grayson Allen did get his two threes, although it was late. I did hit on that. I had Quentin Grimes with more than 12.5 points. He only had four tonight. We got to give him some more touches. And I had Giannis with more than 35.5 points, only finished with 22. So wasn't a great night for me on Prize Picks. How'd you do?
I did very well. I was one off a perfect night.
Nice.
You're like, nice. I know you had a tough night, CC.
I had a tough night,
man.
I got greedy.
I had Grayson Allen. I thought that was like the easiest pick of the night over 1.5 threes.
Yeah, I like that.
Because, you know, we look at before, he's had 4, 3, 2, 5, 6. He's only hit the under on this number only one time.
Yeah.
Since November of 2021 against the Knicks. So that was easy for me. And he had three tonight. Or he had two tonight. Mm-hmm. So he hit the over. I had DeMar DeRozan under 26.5 points against the Celtics. He's a career 21 points per game against the Celtics. So I had the under, and I hit on that. I think he had only.
And he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. And he played 23 minutes, had 13 points. So I hit on that. I had Jason Tatum in that game as well, over 31.5. It's a tricky pick, but he's just been
good. Pick tonight.
And he had 32 tonight.
I like
so
that.
So I hit on that, 3 for 3. I had Randle. You made the points, similar research for me against the Bucks. I had him under 26.5 points. I just thought that Brunson was going to get a lot of the usage. Randle still ended up getting the usage, but he did not. He had just 25 points, so I hit on that. And then I had Giannis over 31.5 points, and he had about, 22?
22.
So that's the only one that I missed. So I'm 4 out of 5. Nevertheless, good night. You win some money. You live to play again.
You live to fight another day, man. So for you people at home, play to win, but play responsibly, man. Go to prizepicks.com and use promo code KFTV for an instant deposit match on your deposit of up to $100. Back to the phones we go. Area code 646. What's your name? Where are you calling in from? 646, live and direct. Hello.
Yo.
Yo.
Oh, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, man? This is Pizza Hut. How can we help you?
My man looked like Fournier. I gotta cover that.
Yeah, he's
nah,
late on his
I didn't hear the rest. I didn't hear the rest of the number. Yeah, this is a bad loss. But before I get into everything, there's a video going around with Cam Reddish, missing his defensive plays. So if that's the case, why he's not playing, then why is number 31 still coaching? How many leads has he blown? You know the Knicks are number 2 in blown leads this season?
Mm.
It's really, really bad. It's like, it's really sick. And it's like Leon Rose takes no responsibility for anything that that's happening because he's playing everything safe. And it's like, all you got to do is look at, he did a good job in the front office, but when it comes to picking a head coach, you pick an assistant coach, and you don't know that his accolades are good in being an assistant coach as opposed to being a head coach. All you have to do is look at his history. I don't understand what was the problem. I mean, this relationship thing, you guys touched on it. This relationship thing is not working. You got to look at what is going on. You can't pick a 23-year-old. I mean, you can't, like, sit there and pick a 64-year-old over a 23-year-old. Who has more longevity? Especially when this guy's not going to win us a championship and we're going to get eliminated in the first round. That's all I got to say. Peace.
All right. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. Shout out to Unlimited Boxed. $5 Super Chat says, Knicks have to learn the art of passing and moving without the ball. Do we ever have possessions where the ball just free flows? Offense is too hard work. Yeah, only 16 assists tonight. So certainly didn't help them. Knicks 26 in the league in assists per field goals made. Obviously, you like to see that number go up a little bit. You know, Brunson and Randall had damn near 50 shot attempts. Or was it 60? What did they have tonight between them? Randall went 9 to 29.
Literally 59.
60, yeah, 59. Brunson, 30. Brunson did go 10 for 10 from the charity stripe. So that was good game. Good game by him, man. Let's go to player ratings. Player ratings presented by KnicksFanTV.com. Make sure you guys go to KnicksFanTV.com after every game to check out KnicksFanTV, Remy's post-game recaps. He recaps the game and issues player ratings for every player that played in the game. We also have some great articles from other talented scribes at KnicksFanTV.com around the trade deadline. We have Stockwatch up there. Alex just drafted something on Julius, so we got a lot of dope stuff on KnicksFanTV.com. Make sure you guys are going there to check it out and support. Sign up for the mailing list as well. All right, JD. Player ratings. All right, so we'll give
Hartenstein.
Yeah, we'll give Hartenstein a zero. We'll give Fournier a zero. Forget the bench. It's not even worth talking about. Let's go with Quick. 23 points, 4 rebounds, 9 of 14 from three field, 3 of 6 from downtown, 1 through 10. People in the chat, give me a rating for Emmanuel quickly, JD.
Ooh. I mean, I'm gonna go with an eight.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with a strong eight. And the only reason is zero steals, zero assists in 43 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start there in terms of -2 to get to the 8 player rating that I have for him. I'm not giving you a 10. We lost the game. He didn't have an assist.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I mentioned, 3 of 6 from 3. You know, we talked about him becoming a sharpshooter, getting that efficiency up. I think that's the only thing that's left in his game is, you know, being efficient. And 9 of 14, 3 of 6 from 3. He has some gorgeous moves tonight in the perimeter in terms of pump fakes, one dribble, sidestep, you know, shooting the 3. He's confident. He has his swag back. The guy is really playing well. He's playing 43 minutes. He's giving you the top-notch defense. I'm going to go with a strong 8, borderline 8.5. The Knicks loss, and you know, yeah, I'm going to go with the 8.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8.5. I'm going to go 8.5. I thought tonight offensively was one of the best, in terms of his arsenal, was one of the best games I've seen him play offensively. He's had higher scoring games. He's had, you know, higher scoring games than a triple-double, I believe. But just his showing off his bag, whether it was inside, outside, you know, getting into defenders, drawing contact. He had, I believe, 6 straight Knick points in that second quarter, 8 overall. I thought quickly was great. And then defensively, you know what he's doing defensively and his impact on the team, which has been one of the few constants on this team. I'm going to give him an 8.5. It's a solid night. He's continuing to shoot the ball well. I mean, let's take a look at it. Last couple of games since he's been in the starting lineup. Let's take a look at it. Last 10 games, he's averaging 18 points a game on 37% shooting from downtown, 45 from the field. You got 23-4 tonight, 13-5-4 against the Raptors, 15-8-5 against the Spurs, 15-5-3 against the Suns, and then 27-5-7 on New Year's Eve against the Rockets. So IQ doing the most with his minutes as a starter right now in place of R.J. Barrett, definitely hurting the bench, but he's doing what he can out there, and defensively certainly bringing it. So I thought that was a good job by him. How about Julius? 25-16, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1-for-12 from downtown, 9-for-29 from the field.
I like how, you think you slick. I like how you add the suspense there at the end. Try to put some pressure on me. All right. I'm going to go with a 6.
Okay.
I'm going with a 6 because of the 29 shots. The team lost 29 shots, 1 of 12 from 3. And also, you know, taking 12 shots in the first quarter, that was a little much, especially after you see that, you know, your shot's not going in. I thought he would reel it back a little bit. And I would have liked to seen it. I thought that would have been the smart move. But I also understand him coming off a hot streak. You know, you give him that freedom. But, you know, not much else. Didn't like too much how he played late in the game. This is one of those nights where you look at the numbers, you go, oh, my God, 25, 5, yeah. 16, 2 steals. But they didn't necessarily have the impact that he has when he has those same stats on other nights.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I give him a 7. I give him a 7 for the effort against the freak. Did force a travel on him late in the second half. They really got into it. I thought they were going to scrap at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Julius being a hothead, the freak has his moments. Yeah, the little ladder moment, he gets into it. The freak definitely mixes it up. So I thought they were going to get into it at one point in the third quarter. Offensively, he was ice cold. We'll give him a breather. He's been red hot. We'll give him a breather tonight. He was chucking, but I won't give him a we don't need that tonight. I'm going to give him a pass. I took my hand off of the meme. I didn't even post it tonight. No, we don't need that tonight. He's been red hot. So I'll give him a pass tonight. 1-for-12 from downtown. It was brutal. It was brutal shooting. And then I thought in crunch time he crumbled. That's why you give it to number 11. Because I think Julius spent all his energy trying to one-up the Greek freak. I thought he was gassed. By the fourth quarter, he had a couple of bad turnovers.
Yeah.
You know. He wasn't there. I did like the play early in the game when he went coast to coast, crossed up the freak, and then tried to dunk on, I think it was Brook Lopez. I think that was the third quarter. Brooke Lopez. That was part of when they were going back and forth. And Julius,
he did that a few times.
He did that a few times.
To no avail.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I'll give him a seven. Like I said, I did like the defensive effort on Giannis. Look, this is the MVP candidate, one of the hardest guards in the league. So I give him credit there. Yes, the help defense definitely contributed, especially early in the game, but he rose to the challenge and didn't let his offensive slump impact him defensively.
He just needs to, you know, we got the Pacers next. He just needs to mentally program himself as if there's a Sabonis out there in a Pacers uniform.
Right.
And he'll cook because he plays well against the Pacers. So, you know, I'm confident he'll bounce back next game.
Yeah, absolutely. Brunson.
Ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
I'm going to go with the 9, man.
Yeah.
Got to go with the 9. Can't go 10 because you didn't win tonight.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, 10 of 10. How about 10 of 10 from the free throw line? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's significant for him because I don't know what's happened to him, but he has not been hitting free throws.
Right.
So for him to go 10 of 10 on one night, that's impressive. I'm sure that now gives him some confidence because sometimes even for a player like him, it does the mental aspects of the game sometimes does challenge you as a player, you know, 4 assists and 7 rebounds, only 3 turnovers in almost 40 minutes, 44 points, man. And it's like, you know, it's funny because now even when there's a close game and we're down two, I'm not too nervous because we have Brunson. And you saw against a defender like Jrue Holiday, how many times that he showed his savviness against a top defender like that.
Yeah.
Shaking and baking, moving and grooving, as Clyde said. You saw the full arsenal on his moves, the three-point shot, the mid-range, the juke moves. I'm going to go with a solid 9 for him. You know, and I'm sure, as he mentioned, if he hit some of those key shots, we probably would have won the game. But I can't hold that against him when you go 44 points and you tried your best to get this win.
That's an easy 9 for me, man. Obviously, can't go 10. They lost the game. But once he came in at about the 9-minute mark in the fourth, he did everything he could to win the game, including 14 points in 4 minutes, in the final 4 minutes. 14 points. Every possession that they needed from him, he gave it to him. Crazy. Crazy. I mean, again, just think about this last year. Last year, this probably goes from a 17-point Knick lead to maybe a 15-point Bucks win.
Because guess what? Those shots, we would have had to go to Julius for them,
right,
to save us.
Right. And to make those decisions, as you said early in the show, to make those critical decisions when they're sending 2-3 guys at them. On a night when the Knicks were abysmal from downtown, you give it a captain clutch. He was incredible down the stretch, man. Incredible. I got to give him a 9. New career high. 10 for 10 from the stripe. 7 boards, 4 dimes. 44 points. I got to give him a 9. That's an easy 9. Easy 9 for Brunson, man.
So, let me ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. Do you think he was going to be this good with the Knicks? I'm not saying surprises you, but do you think it was going to be like first season like this? Or, you know.
Offensively, yeah.
Okay.
I did. After what I saw in the playoffs, I didn't think that was a fluke. You know, I didn't think that was a fluke. Especially his arsenal inside the arc. Like, that's skillful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's skillful anywhere you go. Yes, there was the questions. Is the spacing going to be good enough for him? Not a problem. It's been good, man. It's been good. And then, you know, you were looking for him to increase his pull-up attempts from 3. He's done that. Shooting the ball from 3 well. Being an additional option, a number one option. Saving Julius from himself, RJ as well. He's clutch, man. Worth every penny, bro. Now let's see how they move forward. It was a tough loss, 111. What about you?
I'm not surprised, but I will say that I thought there was going to be some sort of transition. I know that he has the pedigree. And all that, the father and all that. But I just thought because of how much pressure I thought the coach was going to face, I mean, we definitely have seen that part of it where we thought the coach might have been fired here a few weeks ago. Like, I just thought everything, the pressure in New York, him having to build a chemistry with Rand, like, I thought all that was going to take time and then in a way kind of affect his game to where he had to kind of reel it back himself and kind of, you know, just feel everybody's games, and then, you know, maybe second half of the season he was going to make that leap. But like, I mean, he's come in like if he was here already for a few years,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then having that new role of him being, quote unquote, the guy away from Luka. I know he had the experience in the playoffs, but, you know, you got the contract year and all that stuff. Sometimes that adrenaline takes over.
True.
But now being, you know, coming in here with that contract, seeing the history, Allen Houston, et cetera, I just thought it was just going to take a little bit more time than it actually has. So I'm very impressed. Not surprised, but very impressed. I mean, he's already making a conversation to be an all-star.
No question about it. No question about it, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. KFTV Postgame Live presented by Manscaped. And we just wrapped up player ratings. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new, and we will shout you guys out. And we will go to the – oh, you know what? Let me hear from two more people real quick. Salute to Rhyme Animal, Chuck D joining us in the chat. Shout out Giancarlo Cataro sending a €5 super chat. The shout out to CP and JD from Portugal. Question, Brunson is our best point guard since who? We touched on this on Knicks Weekly last night, JD. So what was your opinion? I said Starberry. In terms of talent, Starberry. You're on mute. Is your mic on mute?
Since Marbury, I might say Mark Jackson.
Okay.
Although Marbury was different, but I think when you look at just the synergy that he has with the rest of the team,
yeah.
I just think the impact that he's had on Randle, because we've seen the season Randle had last season to what he's having so far. And Randle himself giving a lot of that credit to Brunson and all the off the court stuff that he brings to the table. Some of those things were questionable things with Stephon Marbury in terms of leadership, leading a team.
Absolutely.
You know, Stephon, there was a lot of experiments with Stephon Marbury where they brought Jamal Crawford here.
Yeah.
Steve Francis, he's had a lot of other players that they try to put around him and none of it worked. Some of it was personnel, they didn't fit, but you know, some of it you can make a case that you know, just Marbury's style just didn't fit.
Ego,
so
man.
So I think Brunson is better than Marbury in my opinion. So I'm gonna go as far as Mark Jackson.
Okay, what do you guys think in the chat, man? We had this one on weekly. It was a good conversation, a good debate. A lot of people get into this debate. Brunson, the best Knick point guard since who? Let us know what your thoughts are in the chat. Shout out to Jay Livingston, team hashtag new in the chat as well. Okay, to the Discord we go. Final two calls. Deo Plumpter on the Discord. Deo Plumpter, unmute your mic. Yeah, you've just muted it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Deo Plumpter, can't hear him. All right, we're going to drop him off. King D's, let's go. Unmute your mic.
Peace and love to the room. How's it sound? Everything good on this side?
Crystal clear. Let's go. Yep.
Hey, shout out to CP. Shout out to JD. Happy New Year. I know it's late in the year, but
yeah,
I haven't been here in a while.
A long
time. Hopefully everybody in the chat doing good and living good. Listen, this game doesn't really show or tell you any differently for me. That's just my opinion and where I could stick on. I think I needed to come back up here and just get back. Like, I think TGI Fly said it best, get back to the essence of it.
What happened, man? Everybody leaves and they join their own spaces and everybody's got podcasts now and watch alongs. Everybody forgets about us over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nobody calls us to say, hey, you know, let's jump in a space and have a powwow. You know what I'm saying?
I see you arguing every day with somebody on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hey, it's needed, man. I'm going the solo route, but that's neither here nor there. This is your channel, your space, and hit those thumbs up for everybody that's listening. But listen, for me personally about this game, I mean, you can't play Giannis any better. I know Randle struggled, but like historically, this entire team just struggles against the Bucks. For me, styles make fights and matchups, and I'm judging this season based off what I see Tom Thibodeau do with what I call a chess move, the pieces that go on that nobody really cares about, and that's like in the second and third quarter. CP, Diddy, I got to tell y'all the truth, man. I need iHeart off this team. If I could, I could, I would say other things excessively. But I need iHeart off this team. So Leon Rose, when you're thinking about what you got to do on a trade deadline, here's what it is, man. RJ Barrett was missed sorely because you need quick off that bench to capitalize and spell people. At this point, we need relievers. So I feel like Leon Rose has to do, and again, whichever way you fall, either you with Tibbs or not, I'm not here to get in your way. I'm here to say that if it works out the way it should, if Thibodeau can't outcoach another playoff team in a stretch, in the playoffs, he's going to get his job removed and revoked. So I want to get a wing player for all these DMP players that's not playing. Reddish, Evans here and there, but it doesn't even matter. Derrick Rose is a folktale legend, and I wish him the best going forward. But Leon Rose, you got to get me a wing player that could play with Quick, Obi, and RJ when you put the bench in. And I need to get iHeart off this team, and I need to put Jericho in. I know a lot of people were upset about Obi, but me personally, it's like this. If you got Obi on the floor and you got him with Mitch or Randall, he has to guard either Giannis, Portis, or Lopez. That's a tough ask to ask Obi day one coming back. So I just need more, I wouldn't say more talent on the roster, but I need more weapons on the roster.